It is my honor and pleasure to introduce to you Christine Albert.
Thank you. Thank you, Kit. It's a real honor to be here. I have heard about Unity of Wimberley from many good friends in Austin for quite a while, and I knew that it had to be special if you're willing to get up on Sunday morning and drive all the way out to the Hill Country to attend the service. And I realized that even without an inspiring gathering waiting for you, a Sunday morning drive to Wimberley is its own kind of sacred experience. And my friend Pam brought me today and was kind enough to stop every time we crossed water so we could have a CBS Sunday morning moment of nature. Thank you, I appreciate that. I was invited by Kit and Ellen to share some music with you, but also to give the message today since Ellen isn't here. And I'm disappointed that I don't get to hear her, but I hope I can come back when she's here. I've chosen to weave these two things together because I'm speaking about, as we said, the richness of loss and the healing power of creativity. And for me personally, that creativity manifests as music. For you, it might be something different that heals. It might be painting or gardening or writing or dancing. A song, I think, needs to be able to stand on its own without any explanation or setup. And I believe that the ones that I'm going to sing for you today can do just that. When I play them in a concert setting or perhaps at Don's Depot on a Saturday night, like I did last night till 1:30 this morning, as a matter of fact, I don't really go into too much depth about where they came from in my personal life. We just move on and sing the song. But on a Sunday morning, in a contemplative space where we come together to perhaps touch a little deeper or softer place in ourselves, revealing more of the journey that led to this music seems not only to be appropriate, but imperative. These songs on my new CD that Jeff mentioned, thank you for the kind words, by the way, Everything's Beautiful Now, speak to the transformation that comes from loss. By sharing more of the backstory, perhaps you'll be inspired to discover your own creative path out of the darkness the next time you find yourself there. Making this album definitely did that for me. It was a process that was intuitive and a natural place for me to go, but I was stunned at how healing it actually was to make this music. In late 2008, my sister Linda's husband of 32 years was diagnosed with a rare liver disease, and he died 3 months later, leaving Linda and 5 grown children and several grandchildren. For our family, it was sudden and shocking, and we were heartbroken. 6 months later, their first grandson was born and named after his late grandpa. Seemingly normal at birth, within a few days, he started exhibiting symptoms that soon led to the diagnosis of a rare genetic brain disorder. And he passed away in my sister's arms at just 3 weeks of age. I couldn't, at that moment, I really couldn't comprehend that my sister had suffered two such profound losses, so connected and so close together. I began a song called At Times Like These that week, and it's the first of the 11 songs that became this CD, without me knowing that that's what would happen. The lyrics that I wrote, "There are no words, all I can give is love," were to be a mantra in my life in the months and years to come, singing it to others and to myself more than I imagined I would need to. Following that, in the summer of 2009, a very close friend died from a fall that led to a brain hemorrhage. I was in a meeting in LA for the Recording Academy when I received the news, and I literally doubled over in a boardroom. And my husband, Chris, and I helped the family create her service, and her ashes ended up residing in an old radio cabinet in our living room that we have. That's just an empty radio cabinet next to a window. And Becky was there for 3 months, waiting for the right time to let the Red River carry her home, which is what we did ultimately. A dozen losses followed. Actually, when I sat down to write the liner notes for this album, and there were 16 names that I wrote that were family members and close friends, not just kind of casual acquaintances, old friends, colleagues, parents, close friends. And I began to realize this is not an anomaly. This is the beginning of a new stage of my life. This is what's natural and which is going to be happening. But still, every loss tore me open and kind of hit a grief nerve from the previous one that I hadn't quite healed from. We've had several containers of ashes now live in that radio cabinet at various times, and I certainly didn't see that coming. But what usually comes and what has come for me with that raw grief and disbelief every time is a sharpened awareness that of the fleeting mystery that is my life. I can't take it for granted. I can't plan every moment of it. I can't anticipate what's to come. I can't leave anything left unsaid. That was a big one that I learned from all of these losses. And I can't keep love hidden away in my heart behind ancient bitterness and anger or regret. In 2010, we moved Chris's mom to Texas from South Dakota. She had Alzheimer's, and we found a wonderful facility in Buda for her to receive the care that she needed and be close to us. And the two of us became very close. Although the disease was slowly stealing her memory and the details of her life, her emotional world seemed to be emerging with greater clarity. She developed what was really an uncharacteristic desire to reflect on her life and to communicate that to me. She'd always been, people in South Dakota referred to, oh, darling Gage, she's a no-nonsense kind of gal, a tough cookie, a take-charge kind of gal, which really meant she was kind of controlling. And her kids would say, well, that's a nice way to say it. But here she was in Texas, becoming tender and vulnerable and willing to express that. It was very unlike her, and I loved seeing that transformation happen and felt honored that I got to actually be a part of it. She was confused. She did say that she lived with Al-Qaeda and that she and the 25-year-old aide were having a romance that went back for decades. So she was living a pretty good life, really, in her mind. But she also talked to me about regrets and her love for her children and her anxiety and fear about having to say goodbye to people. In those last days of her life, we put her in bed in Buda, and she knew that she would never get up again. And she said to me, she lay down and she said, I'm in my bed, I'm on my side, and everything's beautiful now. And I was so struck by it. She was so clear, and it was obvious that she was really ready to not rally anymore. She didn't want to sit up in her wheelchair and just make the best of it, and to force down food to sustain a body that it was really time for her to leave behind. There was actual, I felt joy and gratitude in those words and thanking us for letting her go. She died, Darlene died on a Friday morning, and an hour later, as I pulled away from the facility, my phone rang, and another really close friend of mine, I was told, was very near the end. And I knew that she had cancer, and I'd been speaking with her all week, and we thought she had at least a couple of more months, and I was planning to go to Maryland and visit her as soon as Darlene's affairs were settled enough. We ended up saying goodbye on the phone that day before I even made it home from Darlene's passing in Buda, and she died the next day. So this was sort of the continuation. These losses kept happening, but the first song that I'm going to sing that Jeff mentioned, Everything's Beautiful Now, was written a few days later. I sat down and wrote it really easily in one sitting because it was really, felt like it was the voice of Darlene and my friend Carol. And I was inspired by the conversations I'd been having with both of them. I would literally talk with Darlene and then Carol would call and I would talk to her. And she was obviously at a different stage in her life, but they were both being very open and honest and reflecting with me about how they were embracing, honestly, the end of their lives. They'd each made their peace with that, with the point where they were. And it felt like when I sat down to write, it felt like my duty and my responsibility and my gift to them to write this song, especially for Darlene, because she could really no longer speak, and she had been difficult for her to form her words for a long time, and I wanted to speak for her. So I'm going to move to the position where I'm most comfortable after 40 years of doing this, pick up my guitar and sing some songs from the new album, and then I'll talk to you in between the songs and continue the message as part of the music. And Kit has been gracious enough to learn these songs in a way that just blows my mind how beautiful it is. So you're very fortunate to have her here.
Thank you.
you.
This next song, Flower of the Moon, is not specifically about losing someone, but it is about growing through difficult times. I've had a lot of tragedies happen in my life that a lot of people have. I'm a sexual assault survivor and was attacked by someone in the middle of the night, an intruder in my home. And a few years later, I was hit by a drunk driver while standing next to my broken down car on the highway in San Antonio. And a young man who had stopped to help me, a 17-year-old boy, was standing right next to me and was killed instantly. And when I started experiencing losing so many friends and my father and, you know, key people in my life, kind of triggered, it seemed like it triggered a lot of the trauma from those older losses that were of such a different nature. But what it reminded me of when I started re-experiencing all of that was how much I had grown through those times, how vulnerable I was and how vulnerable I was feeling again. But I tried to remember that ultimately the things that I took from those experiences and the way they transformed me were very profound gifts that I wouldn't trade for anything and became part of who I was. So I just needed to hang on to that. And I wrote this song during that time. I'm a self-professed devotee of the moon. My good friends know that. I always feel its pull when it's full. And I'm also an insomniac, so we're very well acquainted. Especially during the full moon. I always know the moon must be getting full because I stopped sleeping about two nights before. So Flower of the Moon, is this song is about the luminosity that always guides me back. A single star in a crescent moon, hanging in the ink black sky. I am pacing room to room, not another living soul inside. Just the ghost of a memory in the shadows of my past. I'm amazed I'm still standing here. How'd I ever get through all that? But I did, and I always do, time and time again. If you tell me this is Judgment Day, then I will say amen. The holiness of whatever comes my way. I've learned not to resist the urge to pray. The moon is my guiding light, shining bright into my room. So of course, seasick from the ride, trying to find my way back home, but the water is just too wide. Close my eyes and breathe in deep, and I tell myself to trust in the little part of me that remembers where I was. I've learned not to resist the urge to pray. The moon is my guiding light, shining bright into my room. I'm not afraid of like a flower of the moon. And Chris Gage needs to be worried about his gig. This is very easy playing with Kit. It's wonderful. We're going to do one more song here. This last song I started many years ago when a close friend of mine was going through her dark night of the soul. She was really at the lowest point in her life, and I could see that she was awakening to a much needed new perspective. Her kind of spiritual eye was opening, and the cloud that she had been carrying for years, kind of living in denial about some pretty unhealthy dynamics in her life, was lifting. And as difficult as it was for her, I was excited for her, and I began to write this song. And I ended up, like I often do with songs, I don't know if you do this, Kit, where I just sort of put it aside. I write it for a while, and I put it aside, and then the next time I pull it out, it has a whole other meaning. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up writing this at various times for my friend and for my son and for myself. We all need to be reminded to take a step into the great unknown, which is what this was about. Jeff mentioned my work with the Recording Academy, which is... For the last 8 years, I was very involved with that, and Swan Songs, which I started 10 years ago. There's definitely a learning curve to all of that kind of work, and I realized that I thought it was odd that at the same time that I was going through all of this loss, I was also inspired to kind of take these steps. And I think that it was... that leap of faith that I needed at that time was, like I said, the loss was helping me to realize that I need to live every moment, and I can't plan everything, and I needed to take some risks. And I was grateful that I had these projects, and especially Swan Songs. Is very gratifying to be surrounded by people that are being so courageous and thoughtful at the end of their life. They make a choice. The music is not what we decide is appropriate. We don't go to people and say, here's some music that we think you would like. They tell us exactly what they want. And our most common request that I never would have anticipated when we started this is mariachi here in Texas. We're always getting requests for mariachi. And the other one that was very challenging was Lithuanian accordion. So I find myself doing a Google search for Lithuanian accordion in Texas. And, of course, the player that we found lives out in Schulenburg. So I don't think it's a coincidence that a lot of these new things were coming to me at the same time that I was letting go of so much. I think with every person that I lost, I felt more inspired to go a little further, reach a little further, dig a little deeper, and give a little more to this life while I have it. So this is a kind of a lullaby, but it's a lullaby about waking up instead of going to sleep. And it's called Little One. And I want to thank Kit again for inviting me, and thank you all for welcoming me into your community. I've enjoyed visiting with you and being here very much.
Wake up, little one, feel the warmth of the rising sun. Wake up, little one, to who you can become. walk on, take a step into the great unknown. Stand up, walk on, make this world your own. You can find the power in those quiet hours when the mind is finally at rest. It's your own. Little one, join the choir, sing a higher song. Speak up, little one, let your voice be strong. Look up beyond your troubles here, let kingdom come. Look up beyond the path you're on. Asleep when something keeps calling you to rise and shine. Don't be afraid, the future's made when you leave the past behind. You can find your power in those quiet hours when the mind is finally at rest. It's your own heart beating, and it might be fleeting. For a moment, you can feel it in your chest. Wake up, little one, feel the warmth of the rising sun. Wake up, little one, to who you can become. Wake up, little one. Wake up, little one, to the rising sun. Wake up, little one. Wake up, little one.
Christine Albert. Thank you so much, Christine.
Who says you have to go to Austin for great music? We're Wimberley, dadgummit. Bring Austin here.